What's up, everybody? It is another episode of the Stew Show. Hope you guys are safe and at home and not working, fucking getting drunk and smoking weed. Anyways, we will get to this show in a bit here. I've got a very interesting guest today. It's a Utes from Germany. He's going to be on. It's going to be a clever show. I just hope everybody's keeping safe and not getting too feared out, I call it. Like, you know, all this shit makes everybody uptight, and it's kind of like not a super great thing for everyone to be dealing with right now. But what do you say we give Yeats a call? I want...
Hello?
Yeats.
Stu?
Yeah, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Stu. Good hearing from you.
Yeah, man. Like,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you?
Just like everybody else, I guess. Hold up, basically, and looking inspirational. YouTube videos.
Yeah, right. I'm like
trying holding it all together. What about you?
Like my street has it's a dead end at the end, you know, like a little roundabout.
And, well, I've been there, yeah.
And nobody is driving anywhere, and so then me and my kid go out there and play soccer and just
by himself?
With me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I make my driveway the goal.
What about the other kids? Is there no neighbor kids?
No one is in the street, dude. No one. No cars, no nothing. It's just all like ghost town. Like, I was talking with my friend Trev the other day, and he works in San Francisco, and he still has a job, and he's still working. He does he does optical, like for people's eyes. And he's like, dude, I've never seen San Francisco so dead, like no cars, no people ever in my life. And I was like, wow, dude, videotape that shit for it being 2020 and no one's driving or walking in San Fran is huge.
Yeah, no, I know it. You know, I'm riding a bicycle and I just actually... texted a couple days. Santos, she said, remember when we used to come from the beach down to CCC? We would bomb down the hill, right, and stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, at one point, when he got more crowd, he go, Heinz, I don't think I can do this anymore. So I did it the other day. You just have to watch out for other car drivers. They're driving fast now, too. There's still some cars out there, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're never going to get it all empty.
No, and so those guys drive fast, too. It must be, you know. my friend in Germany just told me they went out on the motorcycle and went like, God, what is it, 220 kilometers an hour? What would that be, like 180 or 170 miles an hour? I'm not sure, you know. But
anything over 100 is pretty darn fast, but once you start getting over 150, then you're flying, bro.
It's probably 150 then, yeah.
Oh, you're...
I don't know the conversion right now. But they were fast, you know? They were on those crotch rockets.
Oh, they're on motorcycles.
Crotch rockets.
Yeah, yeah, they could easily be going 170.
Ah, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not supposed to, you know, but they say there was no cop, not even a cop around, basically, or anything.
Yeah, that kind of makes life easier if you want to go fast.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What's your term, like, compared New York to San Fran in your head? Is there still a shitload of people walking around and doing shit in New York?
Well, I'm not in New York. Did I say I was in New York?
No. I was just saying in your head. What do you think? Like, if people...
Well, I just talked to briefly, or texted actually, and talked. Jocelyn came out, you know, Stefan's wife. And they were kind of glad to get out.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, now they're here, they're also here, you know. They have a house here, so.
Okay. Like, the one thing that I was thinking about is
Stefan,
like,
Stefan says it's totally crazy, you know. And he lost all his work, basically, you know. All the events are canceled. That's what we do, right? Set up events and
yeah,
stuff.
Petty Melt does that too, you know, Local 13, and they just have events canceled, and like my...
Local 14, 16.
Oh, 16. Yeah, probably right. I don't know the number.
No, freaking, I'm sorry. I'm just saying,
like, even my wife's company, they put on events to sell their books. She was supposed to go to London a couple days ago.
Oh, wow.
Canceled. And then eight other events that they had planned this year.
Yeah.
Canceled. Everybody in her whole office. I call it fired. They call it laid off. But I'm like, no, you all got fired except for Roseanne, dude.
Well, no, wait a minute. So you do think they're not coming back? They're not going to be fired?
I don't know. But, like, you know, laid off means, like, when this... stuff, I was going to say shit. When this shit blows over, they'll probably have their jobs still. But I think there's a thing where when people get to not go to work and stuff still is going on and, you know, you're not starving to death and that kind of thing, you're not going back to work. And bosses think about that shit. They're like, dude, I'm still running my company right now, and I don't have to...
You mean because of the fear of the shit?
No. It's the everybody goes to work and does a job, right?
Right. So why wouldn't they go back?
Well, I'm like this. Besides money, right?
Right.
I'm all... Be honest with me. And you can name a couple of them. Mama, what's a job?
Yeah.
What's a job?
What do you mean?
Name a job. What's a job?
Well, most job you're there for the income, not for the outcome. Is that what you mean?
I think I mean more like, I don't know, my friend.
Look here in San Francisco,
Marcos,
they're all working from home in the tech.
My friend Marcos, he just went out mushroom picking today because it's been raining the last few days.
Oh, perfect.
And, like,
perfect,
dude,
man.
He goes fishing.
Oh, I envy
you. Know what I'm saying? He goes fishing. He has his own boat. He goes rock cod fishing, gets his own mushrooms. I've seen the dude shoot a turkey before and skin it and clean it. And, you know, in Hawaii... Everybody lives off of pigs that they kill. You know what I mean?
Right. Where it's like, doing that right now during this crisis?
Right now he's mushroom picking today.
Where?
I can't tell you that. It's his
spot. I know. Well, come on. That's just neighborhood, like Northern California.
Yeah, we're in NorCal.
Okay.
He likes to go, and I mean, North California is a big place. He likes to go coastal.
Yeah. Perfect,
He gets more gold mines when he goes coastal compared to inland.
So let me ask you, is this guy a father too?
No, sir. So no, I think maybe.
it's just like me. We have other family, but not really our own, you know?
Yeah, not as local, I would imagine.
But how you doing with that, Stu? You are a father, and you just coming up on a birthday, I heard.
April Fool's Day is going to be my birthday. I'm turning 50. Oh, boy.
But you have to say, I mean, I don't want to poo-poo on your birthday or anything. It's kind of interesting times we live in because nothing, I think a lot of reevaluation's going to go on. And nothing seems as it is right now, in a way, you know what I mean? We just know we have self-arrested ourselves.
Fucking quarantine. I don't even like the word quarantine, dude. I'm like, dude, I'm not in a Nazi fucking concentration fucking camp.
I call it house arrest.
Oh, dude, we just I can't even go discing at the at Rosa Parks where we just put in a frisbee disc golf course. I'm like,
yeah, I know, I heard that. I mean,
I could go there and just park across the street at the fucking school and walk across and go play, but like there's not just a bunch of bros there throwing and not a lot of people to play with. Everyone's trying to stay quarantined and stay healthy and not get die pretty much is the it's not even get sick, it's like this. I don't want to die. And I'm like, that puts the fear into people like you'd never imagine, dude. And it's not even just in the United States, it's global.
All right, so about that dying, that was always the point. We have always fear of dying, in a sense. And that always has been exploited. You can see it with... you want to stay young and you're never going to die, sort of, you know, like that. That, yeah, and so I think that just also has come to a head, which right now in this space I'm in, I'm feeling, that could be a good thing. You know, it has a silver lining, people thinking about things.
Yeah,
right now,
there's definitely people thinking about stuff that they haven't thought about in a long time because they don't have to go to work and they're sitting at home going,
exactly.
You got it. At one point, you can't keep watching movies, playing video games, looking at YouTube, you know, this, that, the other. It's like, shit. It really gives you a chance to just put thoughts in place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, I think right now we're still in the, have to be okay to be in the unknown, because even, I think, really nobody knows. Maybe the overlords know, you know, I'm not sure, but I don't really want to go there right now, you know, type of conspiratorial and stuff. But, yeah, it seems like nobody knows where this is going to go.
I'm all, you know who really doesn't know? Donald Trump.
I don't know.
That guy doesn't know anything about anything, dude. He's a nincompoop.
But let me ask you this. He wants to open the country, right?
Yeah, thinking he's starting it back in April on Easter Sunday, right?
On Easter.
Yep.
Are you for that or not, personally?
I know I don't want to die.
Yes, but
do you have a cure for it? Like, if I do get it, you have a fucking medicine or something?
You know, like, God, how can I articulate this? There's a lot of fear, but how real is this fear? Because
I think it's like getting the flu, not just a cold, but like it's like getting the flu.
Well, see, now you didn't. You go even lower than me. I think it's a little bit a flu on steroids, you know? I mean, really,
well,
it seems to... it might be 20 times easier. Oh, here we are. We're talking about the corona again, right?
Yeah, I know. I know you didn't want to, but I'm like this. The one thing that we talked about earlier that was just getting me, like, jacked, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm all... okay, so... if someone I'm not saying one person, but like if something concocted this virus, it could be a few different things, like even AIDS.
What do you mean?
Isn't it like more than one thing?
The corona?
Yeah.
No, but the studies from the here, you know, the corona, like the flu virus, because it does, from what I understand from some sources, that belongs, like epidermic, what do you call those guys who deal epidermic? Come on, help me out, Stu.
Epidurals? I mean, that's no, just like sticking needles.
I can't say. They deal with epidemic stuff, right?
Right, yeah, anybody that deals with an epidemic.
I don't know how many flu of the COVID, not 19, but we had all the flus and they're related. And we all have that from then still in us. It's not going to break out unless they overtake. Personally, all my life, I think we have everything in us. I think even everybody has a little cancer, in a sense. You understand what I mean? I mean, but is it festering? Is your immune? I don't know how to say this, really.
Your immune system has to be able to kick its ass.
Or keep it in check.
Yeah, that's what I mean by kick its ass.
Or partially, you know, when we were little kids, this is really off the, I'm talking out of my ass, but I mean, I've been on this planet a while and it worked a little bit for me. So when we were little kids, now kids, everything is more sterile, I think. When I was a little kid, I sometimes ate some shit, literally.
Oh, I get it. I'm saying.
But it was in the sand. Now.
Because you brought up little kids, right?
No, I'm saying
when I was a little kid, right?
That little shit protected me from other things.
No, I get it. You build an immune system by dealing with dirty shit. You build it up. But I'm like this.
But you know, the immune system.
The one thing that everybody in the 70s, at least when I was born, right?
Yeah.
1970, everybody got chicken pox.
Oh, really?
And chicken pox fucks your world up, bro. Like, you can't go to school. You're in bed the whole time. Finally, you can keep water or Gatorade or something down and then work your way up to a saltine cracker with chicken noodle soup, bro. And you got chicken pox. But, like, nowadays, right, when my son was born, they get inoculated. They can't get chicken pox, bro.
I think I got inoculated in Switzerland. I'm not sure for that, but I think so.
But I'm just saying, like, if there was an inoculation for this new coronavirus, right? Then you don't have to worry about it, like, getting chicken pox. It's like, nah, dude, I can't get it. But, like, they don't know exactly what it is, and they can't make a cure for it yet.
We going out there. You steer my brain again, and I'm a little bit on the fence, and I haven't totally decided what it is, but I smell a rat.
I think somebody's making a profit.
No, because you, just like you, you say if there was a vaccine right now, you would take it. I have a few bodies around me, few peeps, just a few. They go, hell no, I'm not going to take that. I never had a flu shot, and I hardly get sick, and I do not. At the times, I think you have to be alert now.
I had a flu shot one time in my life, right?
Yeah, but it's not just one shot.
No, I'm saying. Why did I have, like, I was forced to take a flu shot, bro.
How?
Because I got a baby. I had a son come out, and they said, no, dude.
See,
it's kind of like, by law, you have to take this. And I was like, all right, whatever. It's just a flu shot. So they're giving you a little dose of the virus so that you'll become immune to it. Yeah, and I'm like, I know people that are so in fear or what have you, they get a flu shot every single year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, hell no. I never do that, dude.
Hey, you know the Simpsons, right? I mean, you like the Simpsons.
What?
Stu, are you still there?
You think I'm like Bart?
No, I want to tell you. So I just saw a little clip because searching for coronavirus, whatever I looked at, there was on the side the Simpson thing. It was about vaccination. So the guy took the vaccination and he immediately fell over. I forgot which character it was. It wasn't one of the main characters. But I thought it was hilarious. Look, I think in the future we all have to take that, and that worries me. When I go, the few times I went use the health services, they always push their flu shot. Now even Walgreens, you can get it for free. There's a sign outside, right?
Oh,
I don't know
God.
If it's there anymore now anyway. And I always could say no, and then they would press, why this, that? But in the end, I could still say no. Can I say no with that one that's coming? I don't know, you know. It's almost like then you have to live off the grid if you want to do that.
I kind of like...
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
I'm talking
and it's,
on the radio here, so I don't know.
No, it's an awkward thing, but the one thing that I'm like, it's hard to force someone to do something. Like, I'm not the only one of my friends who's done this before, but I was in the hospital, right? And they had me all hooked up to these, like, IVs and equipment, right?
Is this when you had your accident with the skateboard?
No, it came from that, but this is after, and I was in the Big Island, and I got life-flighted over to Oahu.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got life flighted twice, bro.
Why?
Long story. But I'm like this. Well, I've been here for 4 or 5 days, and I feel like better now. Like I'm good to go. And they're like, "No, we're gonna keep you here for a few more days." And I went like this. Rip, 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 and take all that shit out of my arms.
And you walked,
Right out the fucking front door, bro, and went and got onto a plane and went back to the Big Island. And it's like this. Bye. Like, I think the point of that is sometimes in life when people are like, you have to take this or you have to do this or you're going to get this shot or whatever, and you just go like this, fuck you. No, I'm not.
I agree.
Get that thing near me one more time, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Right, but it's
it's your option.
Right,
to punch somebody in the face.
I'm just kidding.
Violence is never the answer, but I'm like, you can just say no, dude. Fuck off. Get away from me.
So let's say in this case you would say no, just like you in the hospital. You had no choice because it's for the kid, or because you had a kid, and they would say okay. You don't get those government checks or whatever.
No. Then you're not fit parent. We're not letting you have your kid. That's the law.
That's what I mean. There's repercussions.
Sure.
You know? Looks to... they don't want anybody to go to work anymore and pay them anyway. Where do you think... I mean, that's exactly the point. Then everybody's dependent on some kind of... government or whatever form, fascistic government or whatever, they can easily say, well, you take the flu shot. You know, we have in Germany a saying, who pays has to say.
Oh, boy.
Huh?
I said, oh, boy.
Yeah, well, that's how it is, you know, and it's in America no different. It's all about money in the end. Well, in this case, it is. Oh, they want to make it so. That's why it's really great for me to see people who don't. They have these inspirational videos, you know, from these divers or from Wim Hof or something. They have claimed their power back, in a way, with what they believed in and they followed that all their life. Maybe they were just lucky, but I clearly see they're not. They go, just keep on breathing. It's all in the breaths.
Right.
Even the person who diving, you know, I mean, if he can stay 5 minutes, 5 minutes, I can hold my breath barely. It depends. I haven't gotten up to 1.5 minutes. I have not.
Well,
close,
it's weird for someone who's, you know, had
5 minutes.
Someone
and
who's
not,
had their brain
not,
cut open.
Not, yeah.
Right? They took a circular saw to my skull and fucking opened it up and shit. I'm like this. Holding your breath for 5 minutes is super duper tough and pretty burly on that guy who's diving, you know, with a spear gun. But I'm like this at the same time. It's not really good. It's not really good for you.
Holding
your breath for 5 minutes fucks your brain up, dude. I'm like, no, you need to keep breathing all the time.
No, Stu, I understand. They change their organs. They're called fish people. It doesn't hurt them at all. They're thriving on it. I don't think so. I mean, they are still young.
Take a big bong hit and fucking hold it in for 5 minutes and see what happens.
For us, yes, I agree. That would be overkill. That's why we have to go slow. But they had to start somewhere too. You know, they're born in Hawaii and their father took them out and they were just born for this in a innate sense, what do you call it? They suddenly discovered this and they followed up on that with, what do you call that, when you have commitment to it.
Determination,
you know?
Commitment, and also like, I guess no matter what, if I'll just say this. If you hung out with 5 dudes and 5 of them could all go underwater and hold their breath for 5 minutes, you would feel like a pussy if you couldn't do it.
Sue?
Yeah.
I didn't get the last word. You could what?
I said if you hung out with 5 of your bros and they all can do something and you can't do it, you're the only one who can't do it, you feel like a pussy. So then you gotta make it so you can do it, dude. It's kind of like skateboarding. If everybody else can drop in on this big bowl, then you're the only one who can't.
Stuart,
yes.
You come from the competition side. That's how we raised, you and me. But this has nothing to do about competition. It really doesn't. That's why otherwise they would be long dead. You have to take it slow, you know, incremental. And usually they don't go in groups down. I haven't seen a group. They're usually alone.
Right.
But it's not about competition. We do it all in our own capacity.
Okay.
Story.
Let me just ask you this, and you tell me what you think about it, right? If there's a... there's a rope, okay? And there's 5 dudes, and there's 5 really hot chicks standing around watching. And everybody climbs up and tops the very top and rings the bell and then climbs back down. And then it's your turn to climb up the rope, and you get halfway and you just can't do it, and you get Indian rope burn and come back down, right? No, I'm saying, guess who's not getting laid that night?
I agree on that level, but...
that's where the competition comes in. It's kind of all for vagina.
That's true.
It is, dude. That's why we compete, to see who can get the best chick.
I totally agree, Sue, but you do have, in all due respect, I'm talking about the here and now, and, you know, for me... that's not that relevant anymore.
I know. We're old. It's a whole new ball game.
Look, I've been there and done all these things, and some of them, you know, I'm not all proud of all my, heartbreaks.
Ouch.
But I got my heart broken too and stuff. So in that sense, but I totally agree with you on that. But let's say the person who didn't get laid.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah, the person who didn't get any.
Yes. He got confronted with that he didn't get that. And that is the transformation in the thing, thinking of, he learned something too. You understand? You think next time maybe he tried harder or whatever, how he processed it. Let me tell you a little story about competition. In Australia, in the early days, when the Brits were there, when the British were there, they played a little rugby with the Aborigines.
Okay. Right?
They needed an opponent, so they played with the Aborigines.
The Abos.
And the Abo, what do you call them?
Aboriginal.
Right, Aboriginal. And the Aboriginal always stopped when it was 2-2 or 3-3 or something, and it drove the Brits mad. And the Aborigines said, well, it's a win-win situation, what do you want? But no, for our race, I clearly felt that when I heard this little anecdote. It's like, no, we gotta know who the fuck is the winner. You understand?
Right, the game's over, but we're gonna keep continuing to see who actually wins. There can't be two winners. And
no, the game is not all, yeah, exactly. But then, look at number one. If only number one counts, right?
Right.
Well, it needs a number two to have a number one.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, you look at it. So, and even when we play, that's where sportsmanship comes in, I think. We give, forgive. You know, like, hey, in the end, it's important that we out here and play and enjoy and have fun. Even at the volleyball on Baker Beach, it gets sometimes so serious. We discussing about one point, you know, I'm like, I mean...
I think there's a big difference, right?
It's overrated, number one.
Well, like in just competition in general, right?
Yeah.
If there's like just me and four guys and we go play a round of disc golf, right?
Yeah.
Someone wins, we're like, all right, man, good job today. Like you really killed it, you know? Here's what turns it around. Put in $50 each and someone wins the money. Price. Yeah, if someone wins the money, bro.
Yeah,
then it turns it into serious competition.
Yes,
like people are
course.
Like, I'm playing for money. And
absolute,
that's what turns
absolute.
It kind of ugly.
That.
Turns it a little ugly, man.
Yeah. You know, I just talked to Max, right? And he won the first time a single not having a partner in pool. And he was really, he said, it really made you feel good. And he had to fight hard. There's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Right.
I don't poo-poo that. I really think so. But I'm just saying, if we just on that, like number one is number, you know, like that. I don't know how you say this. It's overrated. Of course, it makes one person feel good, and should all the other ones feel shit about it? No, come on. That's why we all put in $150 in and thought, hey, I'm going to give it my best.
Right. But for me, it sounds like you've taken me
to frisbee golf.
Yeah.
And I'm really, I remember how you kind of gave me hints because you saw I'm playing like, normal frisbee, you know, like ultimate or something, but you say this is different, Heinz, you know, and you showed me, but you talked me along. I never became as good as you, but that's what is the spirit. I have to give it to you. You weren't competitive with me.
Oh, there's so many guys that I play with up here that I just could never beat. Never.
Oh, really?
It's like, no, I'm this good. These guys are up on the ladder of this level. And it's like, whoa, Jesus Christ.
So you know that feeling too. There's always somebody better, right?
Yeah. Usually.
Yeah.
Unless you're the number one and you've been number one for the last 10 years, you're like, well, there's no one better than me. But so if that doesn't happen, yeah.
I'm now.
There's always somebody better.
If I would compete, I had to compete, what do you call it, 50 between 70 or something. But anyway, I've seen some people, what I do, doing it so good, you almost like chess, right?
Yeah.
And you go, I think I reached my level. I can't just, these people are just brilliant, you know.
Like, I'll ask you this is a very, you know, odd question. But I know the two of you have played chess a lot of times.
Yeah.
How many times have you beaten Santosh in chess, and how many times does Santosh beat you?
I would think he beat him about, and that's probably even bragging, 10%. Like, basically, 1 out of 10 games.
How many games have you guys played?
Oh, we play. I got beaten so many, but I do see now I beat other people. He's very cruel, but he did. You know, he would always say, because I was stumped so many times, and he just went on doing something else and comes back in 15 minutes, you know. Did he make you move? Yes. And I still lost. Basically, when you think so long, you lost already.
Yeah.
But I lost so many times. And in the beginning, I got even mad at him. And you
well,
remember
hey,
Max,
hey, that's... That's kind of like, I'll say, you know, I'm not a genius. Someone like me, it's like this. You think about the freaking coronavirus for too long, it's going to fucking take away some of your power.
Wow.
I just trip on the bad part of, oh, I don't want to go and get, I don't want to get sick, I don't want to die, you know.
Wow.
And it's just... Turn on the news, turn on the TV, turn on a podcast, turn on anything, dude, anything right now. And that's all anyone's talking about because we're all going fucking stir crazy, sitting on our fucking houses going, all right, when's this shit done?
Yeah, so there's a lot to hold right now in a way, you know, like we all holding a lot. And besides that, what now came up, this virus, we had already our problems in our lives, and they don't stop, you know. Maybe they even escalate in these times, so then it's even more challenging. You know what I'm saying? It's like a parallel thing. But I do feel if the virus, there's another virus going on of we're killing everything, like the economy, this, that. I'm kind of for opening up, but I'm not sure, you know, if that's irresponsible or not. I'm not a doctor, not a scientist.
I think we'll get a handle on it. They want to keep people inside so they don't get it right now until they find some kind of a cure, is what I'm hoping they're doing.
But, you know, remember the old bumper sticker, and I don't know if you're old enough, but maybe you remember. We had a bumper sticker say, question authority.
Yeah.
That's out the window. You cannot even use the internet get censored now. And and the things who get censored, they say, look, they killed the economy and replaced it with something else. What's that going to be? For instance, digital economy, we're already doing it. I cannot see you. People working from home on the computer. People don't want to take cash anymore. All this, oh, it's just a coincidence. And those things get censored. Oh, they're not helping this conspiracy talk, and they're not experts, and you know... I'm a little bit, and that's what I have to watch, that I not,
well,
you know.
Amal, hear me out, ready?
Yeah.
The
you
one thing,
what I'm saying,
I do, and I'm saying the one thing that's really weird about this virus, right?
Yeah.
Is if everybody that, you know, that you kind of trusted said the same thing, like, we got a cure for this. You're not going to die. Everything can go back to normal. Done deal. Then no one would be tripping in fear, right?
Nothing going back to normal.
But, like, dude, you see, like, the president of the United States say something about it, and then in the same room, a doctor goes, no, it's not actually really like that, and he'll contradict him. And so then you're like, well, fuck, I don't know who to trust, man. I'm still confused. And so then the fear factor still's fucking on top of everything. Everyone's going fucking shit nuts.
So that's the thing. Some people go, then there's something else going on and something big is going to happen. You can take your pick now what they're going to be, but it doesn't look good. Either way, and about going back to normal, I think something has shifted now.
Oh, definitely. We're not going to be.
Wife? She still has a job?
It's like, yeah, she's got a job. Okay. But it's like, 9/11. Like, the world changed from that, and this is going to change the world too. You'll see, man. It's going to be different.
Tenfold.
So not funny.
I think this is bigger than 9/11 in a different way. I'm not talking about, you know, there was a violent act, but this is, looks to, we have an enemy. I talked to a guy, he was in the Second World War, right? And older than me, he's almost 80, and he goes, and you can't, the enemy, and you can't even shoot back because you can't see it.
Right.
That's the weird thing, you know? It's everywhere. It's on that doorknob. It's in the air. It's like, I can't live like that. I do think so.
Grab your backpack and throw some of those grenades in that bunker over there.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, blow this shit up. Kill it, dude. Fucking kill it. God damn it.
Well, it's the Second World War guy, you know, so he was in there, and that was the thing. The enemy, okay, if this is an enemy, I don't look it as an enemy personally. I'm not looking it as a friend.
I know you've ridden your bike from San Francisco to Santa Rosa before, right?
Yeah. I had a little help there.
What was the longest bike ride you've done lately?
The longest one, they are just like 7 miles an hour, maybe quickly across the bridge to Kirby Cove, you know, or something. But still, I done that, you know, because I would think there would be tons of bikes out there, and it's not like that either.
Nice.
There's other bikes, but it's way down. You know, all those electric bikes and the scooters and that stuff that was strewn all over the city? It all disappeared. Nobody wants to touch anything.
I heard that the homeless people of San Francisco have kind of disappeared.
I wanted to ask you a similar question. They have not totally disappeared. I see them here, there, but they definitely thinned out. So I heard, this was last summer and fall, you know, that there's a lot of homeless there on the, there's a river there. What is it?
The Russian River.
Well, it's the one who comes, the Sacramento and the American River of us come together. And there's not, but even in Santa Rosa, you had a lot of population of homeless.
Not like Los Angeles or San Fran.
No, but I slept in that park of yours.
Right.
You know, I slept there with my bike by the skateboard.
You stayed in the front. You didn't go to the back.
So I looked around and it was already night. So everybody was probably hunkered down because in the morning there was like, well, maybe not that many, but like 5-6 people. I saw there must be more coming out of the bushes. Not threatening me, but just like they're living there, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, are they still there?
Well, we kind of got rid of them, and they're kind of coming back.
And just think, let's say I'm homeless, right? And okay. I was sleeping in that park.
Well, hypothetically, because I know you have a home.
Hear me out. Right now, California doesn't send the drones out like in England, where they get tigers and stuff. You're too far away from your home. So once the gate is up and you don't have a car, you just go around the gate and you're inside, and probably not even the ranger comes in anymore. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no one wants to be near anybody.
A renegade. You know, I do this once in a while. I go out and sleep. Not now, but I would hunker down. No fires. Just sleep a few hours, and then in the morning I'm there. And like Stinson and stuff. And I got busted too, but rarely, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
When the park is closed, and it's close, but you can still go on so far. As that's why I think sometime I want to go outside. Who knows if they go like Italy and stuff, where you get a fine. I think they get up to $3,000 fine.
Shit, you can't squeeze blood from a turnip. If you're homeless, you don't have $3,000.
No, but this is about citizens who go outside.
Oh, okay, normal people.
They probably haven't that money either. A lot of people have gotten that. But again, I'm not there, you know. It's just what I see on the internet and everything.
Yeah.
What do you think about that they take the internet down?
Close
you heard
the
that
internet?
Rumor?
Nah.
No?
No.
Well, listen, do you know Santos? Don't you talk to him?
Sure. What do you think they would close the internet down for?
Because of the opinions now, there's a lot of people who go, what the heck is going on? Are we in martial law? You know, how is this proactive? Is that really about just all the virus? Or is it about entirely something else to see how obedient we are? And, you know, people kind of really well behaved, I have to say. It's like, actually, if you go out, maybe somebody turn you in, you play with your son in the street, and they go, Stuart is playing in the street here, man. He's endangering the community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's kind of more like if you said to me, if I fucking catch you playing disc golf in the park, I'm going to charge you $3,000. I'd be like, I really don't think you could catch me. I'm pretty fast on my feet. But if you said to me, if you go, and I'll still go, dude. You don't understand. I don't give a shit. I'll still go discing. But I'm like this. Instead of just a fine, right? You go outside, you're going to die. Then people are like this. Well, fuck that. I'm not going outside. Fuck that.
I need some vitamin D. That's the sunshine, right?
Go into your own backyard. Do you don't have one? Go out in the street.
Yeah, still, I don't know. I just say it's... The more you talk about it, then I get more disturbed, and I gotta do something else. That's why it's great if you have an art or, you know, something you can put, something you love to do, even if it's just gardening and or whatever it is, and can keep doing that, some kind of normalcy at the moment, because who knows where this is gonna go. But I do think something is up. I just don't feel.
I'm all, you know what makes my life so easy? Well, you know how you're not supposed to go outside right now?
Yeah, we'll talk.
Yeah, well, indoor gardening makes your life that much better.
Yeah, that business.
Well, I work on my garden, but I don't have to go outside.
Right, but that business is blooming right now. Oh, I want to say something else. So we all kind of stressed out, and it's that a fear. And when you have fear, you know how we actually have a reptilian brain. That's from long ago. That's in the old, when you sense danger, that brain, and it maybe saved your life when we, as a caveman or whatever, prehistoric man, you know. And now there's so many fear-mongering out there, or so many fears. If you look at the media, I do think the media exploits that.
Yeah.
And that actually with me, maybe not with everybody, but with a lot of people, it activates your reptilian brain, which makes the decision fight or flight, fight or flight. It never goes just sit with it and do nothing, maybe even eat popcorn or whatever, but not giving in to that, because I think a lot of those fears are implanted in us, implanted from the outside. And then that's another thing, is it a, do they do that on purpose or not? I don't know, but it is real, it's there, just like the virus. I don't know if it's man-made or natural, but I know it's there for some reason. I mean, I do think it's out there, you know?
Sure.
But then you have two, yeah, so with this reptilian brain, and so if you're constantly in a fight-and-flight situation, that causes a lot of stress. And even if you don't have solutions, then it causes more stress. So like, oh, should I stay? Should I stay? Should I go? You know what I mean? Fight or flight.
You know, it sounds weird, but you know, like wrinkles or bags under your eyes or just looking old, a lot of that comes from stress. And it's like this. Dude, you're stressing out everyone right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's
you're
right.
You're going to fucking make everybody exactly. Ugly, goddammit.
That's kind of why I didn't want it, was reluctant to have with you this podcast, because I'm like, I don't want to add my anxiety and freak other people out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I think it's better. The people I'm looking at, they don't do that. They do what they love to do, what they know, what they can do.
Right.
And not feeding into, that's what I think is your personal power, not being out there, you know, you be in yourself and do what you know best. If it's gardening, this, whatever it is, it can be even just playing ball with your kid or something, but something that
it is,
but we still, let me put it that way. That's why I also go outside. I go, all right, they go, you're going to die if you're outside. You're going to die because you're old. You're going to die because of climate change, right? And I go, you know how the prisoner gets his last vision, the joke, like you go, oh, yeah, I want one more cigarette, right?
Or a steak dinner. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but in the old days, it was just like they're hanging there on the cross or whatever, and they get a cigarette, right?
Okay.
And I go, all right, if I'm going to die, then let me go for a bike ride. You know? And that's my chance, because I don't feel I'm endangering anybody.
Yeah, like the one thing that a lot of people... Oh, go ahead.
Other people think you're trespassing, you know, in a way. You're not doing what everybody else is doing. So that's what I then don't like about it. But so far, I don't live in Italy, and this, so it hasn't come. We're still allowed to go out. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, we'll sign off on that. And you have a great rest of your day, sir.
You too, Stu. I hope I didn't monologue you too much.
No, it's perfect. That was Jutz from Germany, everybody. what's your favorite German beer? We'll end on that.
German what?
Beer.
Stu, I'm an IPA guy now. I can't talk for German beers.
You're going Cali on me.
You sucked me in here. I do have to say that. I love those microbrews. news.
Okay, we're gonna send the shout out to Moonraker because they're the best beers,
hey,
dude.
Hold on a second. What's yours? Coors?
Moonraker, buddy. Moonraker.
I thought it was Coors.
If you could get your hands on a Moonraker, you'd be set as set. Can be.
All right.
Have a good day, brother.
Yeah, ciao. I hope I talk to you soon. And hey, hang in there with Avery and all your other thing.
Yep. I'll be on top of it.
We got to hold the peace, you know.
Now's the time.
All right,
brother. Thanks for extending your hand to me. All right, brother. Have a great day.
Ciao. Be well.
Okay. Well, that was Jutz from Germany. And I hope everybody is going to get through this without getting sick or getting any of this crap. Hopefully no one I know ever gets it. Anyway, let the universe bless you. Take care of yourself and stay safe. I'm out.